Now let's go down to the second part of the chart at the bottom of the page. Here you're going to find out which signs are attributed to which modalities and which elements. This is something that many of you may know, some of you may not. By the time we're done with this, you will know. And I'm just going to have you write them in. It's very simple. Here we're going to deal with the 12 signs again. You'll see that at the confluence of fire and cardinal, in the line that represents those two, write Aries. Cardinal fire is Aries. Fixed fire is Leo. And mutable fire is Sagittarius. Cardinal water is Cancer. Fixed water is Scorpio. Mutable water is Pisces. Cardinal air is Libra. Fixed air is Aquarius. Mutable air is Gemini. Cardinal earth is Capricorn. Fixed earth is Taurus. Mutable earth is Virgo. Now you may or you may not know that you have here in this one chart and all the things we've said before enough information to create the Wheel of the Year with all of its specific court cards, but we're going to go through it a little bit at a time. So you know now that the Arc of the Seasons contains a queen, a king, a knight, and a page, water, fire, air, and earth, respectively. Each of the elements has three aspects. Each element has a cardinal form, a fixed form, and a mutable form, and each one of those is attributed to a particular sign of the zodiac. Now, we're going to get to the final stage of things. Take out the final chart, the signs and court cards. There are two columns. There's a column on the left and a column on the right. And I am going to tell you to please write in the 12 signs in order, starting with Aries in the left-hand column. Do that now. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on a volunteer. I'm going to pick a volunteer, and I'm going to find out from you whether or not you can see the system here. Kel, you remember you let me know privately that the class that we did last time seemed to you kind of elegant and cool?
Yeah.
Does this strike you as having any elegance to it?
Yeah. I got more confused, but yeah.
This is more complicated, so it's reasonable that it be more confused.
Well,
but now
cool
we're going to straighten it all out again. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell me what court card, what specific court card of the 16 goes with Aries. I want you to figure it out. What element is there?
It's fire and it's cardinal.
It's fire and it's cardinal, so what would that make it? What's cardinal fire? What suit is associated with fire?
Wands.
Wands. And what rank is associated with cardinal?
That is queens.
That's right. So that would mean that Aries would be represented by what?
Queen of Wands.
That's correct. Now, if Aries is represented by the Queen of Wands, and you look at Taurus, which comes
would
next.
The King of Pentacles?
That's exactly right, the King of Pentacles. Now, is there anybody who does not understand how that was done? Okay. Now what I want you to do, guys, is I want you to fill out the right-hand column of this chart. I want you to write down the specific court card that is associated with each sign. Go ahead and do that now. I'll give you a minute to do that. If during this writing period you have any questions or it becomes confusing, let me know. All right. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the system to work with here. Clearly, as you know, the circle of the year moves from cardinal to fixed to mutable over and over and over again, four different times. You know that if the first season that we talk about is cardinal, the second season has to be fixed, and you know that fixed forms are kings. You know that what comes after that must be mutable, which means that it must be knight. So the organization of the court cards is queen, king, knight, queen, king, knight, queen, king, knight, straight down the page. It's as simple as that. You know that if you look at the chart, if you don't already know the thing by heart, you can look at the chart and find out. You know that each one of the signs is associated with an element. You know that Aries is fire, and Taurus is earth, and Gemini is air, and Cancer is water, and you're going to find that that goes around the circle three times. Fire, earth, air, and water. That order repeats itself around the circle. The order of this calendar, the order of the wheel of the year, is absolutely dependable and is completely cyclic and completely regular. And it describes reality perfectly. Tell me, Paul, in your estimation, what court card goes with Cancer?
Queen of Cups.
Perfect. And what court card goes with Aquarius?
King of Swords.
Oh, good. Thank you. Maris, tell me, what court card goes with Gemini?
I got Knight of Swords.
Perfect. And what court card goes with Libra?
Queen of Swords.
Perfect. I think everybody has this idea very, very nicely down. I would be very surprised if everybody hasn't figured it out by now. The reason that you've figured it out is because it makes sense. Once you understand the system that it derives from, the rest of it is simple. Now what I would like you to do, without my having to call on you anymore, is I would like you to take the very final chart, which is another wheel, the astrology of the court cards. At the very end, it's another wheel of the year with all of the signs represented by the shades of gray marching around the circle. But in this case, all of the signs and all of the court cards are present in the diagram. Now you can check what you have done against this chart and see if you've made any mistakes or if you're all in apple pie order. So take a moment to do that. Good. You'll notice that along with the name of the sign and the name of the court card that goes with it is the color of gray that's associated with it, and you'll notice that the same organization of dark gray, medium gray, light gray, followed by that same arc over and over again, is connected with cardinal, fixed, and mutable. So that if you look at any one of these sections, you can see immediately whether it's the cardinal, the fixed, or the mutable form of its particular element. So what we've done now is we have made the association between the mother letters, the philosophical points of argument, the original elements, the derivation of the fourth element, the placement of the signs, the assignment of the ranks, and the final arrangement of the court cards around the circle. All of that has been done. It's all been done orderly and neat. All of this has been given to you in the form of charts. Most of them have been filled out by you. This last one has been filled out for you. But now that you look at it, you can understand it. There remains one thing left to do, and that is to put in the pages. We have the queens, we have the kings, and we have the knights, the three mother letters. We have water and fire and air. We do not have earth. The earth is represented by the center, a point which doesn't even have a graphic description on this chart, which is nevertheless the center of consciousness. And the outer rim of the circle, however, we have Earth represented again as the solid universe that the perceptual power perceives. We have the seer and the seen, the seer at the center, the seen at the rim. Both of those are Earth. You notice that around the chart, there are four arcs of white as a white rim around the colors of gray. There are four of them. They march around the circle. Each one of them is connected with a season. I'm going to let you put in, first of all, the seasons that are appropriate to the arc. You know that Aries is the beginning of spring and Gemini is the end of it, so you know that that particular arc on the circle is the season of spring. So in the outside rim, in the white area, write in spring. And you know that as the circle goes counterclockwise, because for some reason or other the calendar of the year is understood to go counterclockwise, unlike the clock, we now move to the right. We move around the circle to the summer, beginning with Cancer and ending with Virgo. That's the summer arc, so write in summer. And you know that the following arc, beginning with Libra and ending with Sagittarius, is the season of autumn. And then you know that the final one, the one that's left, is the season of winter. One of the pages goes with each of these seasons, and the question is which one. And here we have an argument inside of the Hermetic community. Here we have a thesis and an antithesis. There are two ways of assigning the seasons. There is a way that assigns the seasons by means of the Tetragrammaton, the four letters of the divine name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. We know that summer is associated with the element of fire. And in the Tetragrammaton, the first element is fire. Yod is associated with fire. So Yod would therefore be associated with summer, according to that view. So the very first season of the year is understood to be summer, not spring. Well, if summer is first, what has to come after summer? Obviously, autumn. And autumn is associated with hay, the second letter of the name. So Yod and Hay are associated with summer and autumn, and they're associated with fire and water. And the suits associated with fire and water in tarot are universally understood to be wands and cups. So it could be said that we have wands and cups, and it could be said, therefore, that the page of wands is associated with summer, and the page of cups is associated with autumn. And as it happens, everybody agrees on that. The argument is not with those two. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to write in that arc, in the summer season, I would like you to write in the page of wands. And in the fall season, I would like you to write in the page of cups. So far, so good. No argument anywhere. But now we come to the place where there is a problem. Winter and spring. Well, if you take the Tetragrammaton, you know that the next letter is Vav. Vav is air. Air is associated with swords. In the Hermetic community, that is pretty generally true. And because in the Tetragrammaton, Vav follows hay, after autumn, which is associated with hay, what must come? The natural thing that comes after autumn is winter. And because of that, because of the order of the Tetragrammaton and the association of elements and suits, winter is said to be associated with the suit of swords, and therefore, but don't write this in yet, guys, therefore, according to that approach, the page of swords would be winter. And then, of course, what follows Vav would be hay, and what follows winter is spring, and the last season of the year is understood to be spring. If you start with summer, the last season has to be spring, and that is usually associated, therefore, with the last remaining element, which is earth. And therefore, in that approach, the page of pentacles would be associated with earth. Hold on now. Don't write that in. I want you to be aware that in the weight deck, which is the one that we have been using for all these years, the one that the tarot school has chosen as its primary form, in the weight deck, the suit of swords complete from start to finish is shown as sere, barren, cold, empty, portrayed in forms of blue and gray and brown, and shown with very, very little of anything comfortable. The whole suit is seen to be troublesome, painful, awkward, and in general, cold. Whereas the suit of pentacles, which is associated with spring in this approach, is shown to be fertile and green and lush and full of promise and delight. And the whole suit of pentacles is shown that way. The suit of pentacles is normally seen in the weight deck as being a very, very happy suit, far, far from the coldness that we associate with winter and midnight. That's one version. Waite, Arthur Waite, being pedantic and straightforward, and in this case, a man of simple, straightforward tastes and imagination, chose the arrangement of the tetragrammaton as being the arrangement of the suits and the seasons, and therefore the arrangement of the pages. This is, generally speaking, done in certain circles of the Hermetic community and on a certain level of consideration. However, it doesn't sit well for a variety of other reasons. There is another way of attributing the seasons, and that is the alchemical version. In alchemy, everything in the world, every manifested form, from a thought to a feeling to a stone on the ground, is understood to be made up of two qualities out of four. The four general qualities are hot and cold, wet and dry. Everything is understood to be made up of a combination of those two. So something can be, for example, hot and dry, or it can be hot and wet, or it can be cold and dry, or cold and wet. It's got to be one of those four. Now, if you take a look at the seasons, you will notice without any question that summer is understood to be hot and dry. Not only dry, but parched, arid. So dry as to admit not the tiniest hint of moisture. Water is said to be wet, clearly, and cool. Not necessarily cold, but cool. Water is understood to be associated with fall. So cool and wet are associated with fall. Hot and parched are associated with summer. Spring is understood to be composed of warm and moist. And spring is associated with air and the suit of swords. And the earth is cold and dry and is associated with winter and the suit of pentacles. Those are two different perceptions, two different sources for attribution. Each one of them has its virtues. Each one of them is useful in a different way. The alchemical version, which is the one that we are going to be using, is one that is very widely used and is even used by Waite himself and other ceremonial magicians in working in temple surroundings. When they do temple work, the east, which is associated with air, is also associated with dawn and with spring, which associates, therefore, swords with spring. The north, which is associated with winter, is associated with earth, and therefore with pentacles. And in temple work, in ceremonial magical temple work, the circle begins with dawn and spring and swords and moves around through fire and wands, through cups and water, finally to the north and pentacles in winter. That's the attribution system we're going to be using here. It is very widespread. It is useful. It is internally consistent. It works extremely well, and it makes no contradictions with the rest of the Hermetic tradition. That's one of the ways in which you can tell whether a given system is useful or not, whether you can trust it and use it comfortably. Is it useful? Is it internally consistent? Does it make any logical problems with the overall external system in which it finds itself?
Well,
yes.
May I just have a recap here? As I was writing and thinking and writing and thinking, it seems that there were two systems, and that while not exactly in disagreement, they aren't exactly in harmony either. One of them was the alchemical system, and one which was the other?
The other one was the system of the tetragrammaton.
Okay, so that is actually how it was called.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down that way.
By the way, for those of you who would want to know, how can these two be reconciled? How can they both be right, or how can they both be used, or how can you have the two of them coexisting without making internal contradictions? The answer is that the Tetragrammaton does not necessarily have to be understood as the progression of summer, fall, autumn, and winter. The interesting thing is that from the point of view of the Tetragrammaton, the He, the final He, has always been understood to be earth. The beginning is fire, the end is earth. The beginning of the Tetragrammaton is summer, the end is winter. It is not the progression of the seasons around the wheel in a strict linear order. The two extremes of fire and earth, the two extremes of summer and winter, are placed at the two ends of the Tetragrammaton. The median seasons of spring and fall are placed in the center. So the first He is autumn and Vav is spring.
So are we then saying that is the Tetragrammaton representative of the Hebrew position? Are we departing now from
No, we're not departing now. What we're doing is re-understanding it. There is what could be called a pedantic, straightforward, linear development in which the attributions are made by the Hermetic community. By the way, the Sefer Yetzirah, from which most of the work that we've been doing comes, associates Vav with air, and He, the first He with water, the second He with earth, and the Yod with fire. That part we're all agreed on. The only question becomes one of the attribution of the seasons.
Mm.
How do you attribute the seasons? And the Hermetic community has had two voices on that. And in fact, Arthur Waite himself has been guilty of using both voices at different times. On the one hand, his deck was created with the idea that the seasons follow one another in a simple, strict, logical order, the way we're used to seeing them, and that follows the order of the Tetragrammaton as far as he can understand it. He also has to make use of the ceremonial magical version of things, which gives you the order of temple work and gives you the order of the seasons and the order of the elements and the order of the suits in the order that we're using here. So he has to use them both, one at one time and one at another. But actually, he could very easily use the Tetragrammaton as a basis for the alchemical order. They do not have to be different as long as you do not require that the order of the Tetragrammaton be the same as the order of the seasons in the year. As long as you have the extremes at the two ends and the medians in the center, everything works out perfectly well. It's just another way of doing it. He didn't do it that way, but he could easily have, and there would be no contradiction between Jewish Kabbalah and this particular version of the seasons and the elements and the suits. I just wanted you to be aware of that because you will find when you go to the various books that abound on esoteric symbolism, these two different positions, and it may seem to you that they're contradictory and they can't both be right, so one of them has to be right. I wanted to give you the background so that you could judge for yourself. Be aware that whenever you come across a difference of opinion on attributions, you are ultimately responsible for picking the one that you use for yourself. There is no final word. Even in Jewish Kabbalah, there are lots of attribution systems. There are lots of ways of drawing the Tree of Life. There are lots of ways of attributing the letters to it. There's a lot of different things that go on. So what we're doing here is working with a system which overall, inside and outside, large and small, is useful, internally consistent, and logically complete. So that's what I've given you here as a way to do that.
Well,
yeah.
But it seems to me that swords are pretty grim. In the Waite deck, in the Golden Dawn decks.
Yes, they are.
That pentacles are lush.
Yes, they are.
And eager. So I don't understand. In other words, when it comes to divination, the alchemical one doesn't work with these decks.
You know what happens with divination? You should be aware of this, by the way. It's something to be very, very clear about. Divination has two aspects. One is symbolic. One is pictorial. Not only pictorial, but also traditional. There are two traditions that work in divination. Two. They do not have the same root. They do not go in the same direction necessarily.
Now, you call that symbol and pictorial?
There's a symbolic and a pictorial version. The pictorial version actually derives from the symbolic version.
Exactly.
But, there is a divination tradition which has nothing to do with the esoteric community, which nevertheless is extremely important in the history of divination, in the history of the use of cards for divination purposes, and which certainly made its impact on the esoteric community when they were doing tarot for divination purposes. The reason why swords looks the way it does The reason why it was incorporated into the deck was primarily because in the Gypsy fortune-telling tradition, which has absolutely nothing to do with Kabbalah and nothing to do with esotericism particularly,
right.
In that tradition, the standard playing card deck ascribes the suit of spades to all the troubles in the world.
Okay.
The suit of spades was given an equivalence to the suit of swords.
All right.
The suit of cups was given equivalence to the suit of hearts. Diamonds were the same as pentacles. Clubs were the same as wands.
Well,
that was the understanding.
Actually, they came first. The playing card attributions.
Yeah, the suits
came
of the playing
first.
Cards came first. The attributions and the development of the suits of tarot came considerably later.
Correct, right.
In the esoteric community, divination was understood to be a necessary part of their learning process, but it was usually considered to be secondary.
Right.
And to a large extent, it was a stepchild. It was
right.
never regarded highly. And Waite himself, in his own writings, often describes divination as being basically baseless, pointless,
oh, yes.
silly.
Yes, yes, yes. Many
you
of
do it because you have to, but you don't really have to pay much attention to it. And if any of you are Harry Potter fans, you may remember the status that is accorded to crystal ball gazing and divination in general in those stories. Pretty much the same thing. So what I want you to be aware of is that in the creation of the deck, for divination purposes, the deck was supposed to be used for divination purposes when it wasn't being used for ritual purposes. The actual physical deck, as compared to the deck as a set of symbols used in magic, the actual physical deck took into account the standard divinatory understanding of its day. And it made swords, which was the equivalent of spades, act like spades. And it took for its reasoning the tetragrammaton order, which could be understood in a straight linear development so that the seasons and the elements and everything more or less confirmed that swords was a miserable, rotten kind of thing that had nothing in it but trouble. That is essentially nothing but divination, which Waite himself dismisses as
But there's also...
But that is Golden Dawn.
It is. It's not just Waite.
There's a Kabbalistic thing
mm-hmm.
as well that says that evil comes from the north.
The north is not swords. Swords
according
is with
to tetragrammaton, it is.
No, it is not.
I mean,
no,
according
not.
To the Jewish.
No, it is not. The four directions are not associated with the tetragrammaton. The four directions are associated largely with a cube of space that includes an addition above and below. This is another whole story.
Right, but where would winter be in the cube?
Winter
of space?
Is the end. Winter is earth. Winter is hay. Winter is feminine. It's contractive.
You know what? I think this is prejudicial. It depends on where you fall.
I
you know
have to
saying?
Admit. Now, wait a minute, Cynthia. I have to admit.
There's just loads of, you know.
There's
no,
lots but, of difference of opinion here.
Right, right.
There is a rationale for both approaches. It can be said that each approach has its point. Each approach has its virtues. Each approach can be used in its own way. For
but
divination
it's critical
purposes,
for the core card array.
Yes. For divination purposes, and only for divination purposes, if you wish, you can regard swords as the equivalent of spades. Deadly, painful, trouble. For the purposes of magic and for the purposes of philosophical or spiritual work, that can't be.
Well, then we're
cannot
better off not using
way.
Weight. We're better off using the European deck.
The European deck being?
The European decks not having all these attributions on them.
All the European decks have attributions too. Oh, no, I shouldn't say all the European decks. The European esoteric system is slightly different than this one. That's another thing.
No, but the pips are not pictorial. So
that's
they,
correct.
So that one is able to give them the alchemical.
That is true.
Attributions,
we can do that.
But it's very difficult to do with
yes.
the Waite or the Crowley or the Golden Dawn deck.
That is true. So just be aware that the basic esoteric material and the basis of ceremonial magic both use swords as spring, not winter. So you can do whichever one you want. You're free to make your own assessment, but that's what I'm giving you here, and that's the system that works within this context. What I want you to do now before we finish is I want you to take the two seasons that are left on the final diagram, and I want you to write page of swords under spring and page of pentacles under winter. It's a system that we're using here. I repeat once more, it's not the only system that's possible, but it's the one we're using here, and it works extremely well. Now you have in front of you the astrology of the court cards. You know where it comes from. You know where it was derived from. You know how it fits. You know the reasoning behind it. The question is now, what can you do with it? And I want to suggest two things. One is that you can clearly use it for timing. When a single court card comes up in a spread, you can find immediately what its zodiacal sign is, and you can then tell what season of the year and what portion of that season. You can tell essentially what month the time indicated would be. So it's very, very useful for timing. The second thing I want to point out to you is something even more interesting and which you may never have thought of. One thing becomes another. What is the middle of winter? Which court card describes the middle of winter?
It's the King of Swords.
That's right. When this King of Swords comes up, you know what the moment is. You know that right this moment in the spread itself, the King of Swords describes fixed air, the middle of winter. You know that it is cold, dry, and harsh, and difficult, and painful, and contracted. But you also know that the King of Swords inevitably becomes what? What comes after the King of Swords?
The Knight of Cups.
That's right. And the Knight of Cups is mutable. The Knight of Cups is mutable water, and it's a mutable time of the year. It's an ending of winter. And it takes place at the end of February and the beginning of March. Temperatures get slightly warmer. It gets slightly wetter. Things are looking a little bit better. There's a little bit more light, a little bit more warmth, a little bit more moisture. Things are moving in a certain direction, but it's still winter. What comes after the Knight of Cups?
Queen of Wands, Aries.
That's right. So you know, let's say, for example, you were doing a Celtic cross, David, and in the outcome position, in the 10th card position, there was, let us say, the Knight of Cups. You would know that at this moment, whatever question you were answering, whatever was going on, the Page of Cups, which indicates the end of winter and the qualities of the end of winter, the crumbling of the winter, the arrival of light, the beginning of moisture, but still cold, still winter, still not where it should be, you know that what is coming next is spring. You know that that Knight of Cups inevitably is going to turn into the Queen of Wands. Whatever a court card is, it tells you what's coming next. It is as dependable as the seasons. The court cards are always in the process of becoming whatever is next on the wheel. You should be aware that whatever you're experiencing at this moment in your life, whether it be harsh or gentle, whether it be generous or contractive, whatever is going on in your life at this moment, the wheel of the seasons will change, the wheel of the energies will change.
Well, then the dates have to change.
The dates can be ignored sometimes. You're not talking about timing. You're not talking about an actual date. Sometimes that's not the issue. Sometimes the issue is what kind of energy are we dealing with.
Right, I prefer the energies, but I'm just, because it's timing.
Sometimes you're, well,
timing.
You know, when you're doing divination, you have to know who you're talking to.
Right.
You have to know
right.
the context of the question.
Right.
And that is going to determine how you use the cards and which of its many meanings you pick to work with.
Right.
So I wanted you to be aware that although timing is the obvious thing to use the astrology of the court cards for, the other thing that you can do with it, which is really important and oftentimes very helpful and very hopeful, is that one thing becomes another. The court cards are a vision of change. And if you remember that, your readings are going to become much more subtle. What I would like to do now is ask a couple of you for comments. First, I'll ask for volunteers. Does anybody want to jump in and say anything at all about this work, whether it was helpful or confusing or useful? So does anybody want to do that?
Well, it's very helpful, but one has to make decisions.
Doesn't one?
And that contradicts really the sophistication of the system itself, because whatever decision you make contraindicates something else.
You know what? You can't understand this material and clunk around like a robot. You need to be more fluid like a dancer.
I think it's a clunky system. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think it's as fluid as, I don't know, which is probably why I've always had a problem with astrology and tarot. That's just my thing.
You know what? You are always at liberty to ignore it altogether. You don't have to use the astrology if you don't want to.
Right. I do understand that. I do, but it's a code. It's something that one does have to just... I'm just saying my preference. But I'm forced to use that because this is what, you know, people do ask.
Yes, they do.
So I have to have the answers. So I do.
Well, now you have not only the answers, but the reasons behind the answers. You don't have to memorize this by rote anymore. Now you know what comes next. You know what goes with what.
I think you have to study it. It just doesn't absorb into your consciousness. You have to look through this thing several times, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Didn't we used to use kings and air and knights and fire?
That is when you place the court card ranks on the tree.
Yeah, that's what I like.
That has nothing to do with astrology.
Okay. I was wondering if this was another split or if you had, because there are only 4,837 one true correct ways to do this, and counting. I've made up a few more as I speak. I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. The interesting thing is that these systems, in the long run, tend to interact and interweave and create a fabric that holds together really, really well. And it creates a tapestry that is both surprising and beautiful and deep and rich. But if you were, as most of us are at the beginning, an apprentice weaver who is simply told, put this thread over here and put that thread over there and do it the way I tell you, and you had no idea what weaving was like, you had no idea how to make thread, you had no idea how to make color, you had no idea how to make a loom, you were just this little kid who is first learning, and you sit down at this complicated job and you're given the job of an apprentice, which is normally speaking to follow orders. And you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, and you don't know where it's going to take you. You have no idea what the tapestry is going to look like in the end. And even if you were shown it, you wouldn't know what it was about because you have no idea of the symbolism that the tapestry is made of. And the whole thing is both confusing, arbitrary, and annoying.
I think the Spanish system uses the alchemical seasonal attribution.
It may. I don't know the Spanish system. The interesting thing for me...
But it happens to be the most Jewish of systems.
The Spanish system is one that is used by Spanish-speaking peoples all over the world. They're very interested in divination, and they use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather they do a nice job of it.
They do.
However, because it has been my fate to work within the system that I work with and do it with as much detail as I've done it, it hasn't left me time to be thoroughly conversant with other systems and to know the comparisons between them.
Yeah, well,
so
don't quote me because I'm hardly an expert in that area.
Well,
but,
you are right
know,
in the idea that there are
I do know that. That
okay.
But Spanish as in Spain.
Yeah, I understand.
I have no idea about the rest of the Spanish-speaking world.
I understand. Anyway, guys, the point of this whole thing is to get some information, to get a system, to understand where the system comes from. If you can find a way to use it, I hope that it will serve you well. In the long run, this is a learning process. I would have hoped that all of this would have made enough sense to you so you could say at the end of it, oh, my God, that's really interesting. What I seem to be getting from you instead is, wow, this is really confusing.
Well, I'll tell you, I think you did a masterful job.
Can't I say sevens are 7 days or 7 weeks?
You know what, guys? Here's another thing for you to be aware of. Next week, we're going to be doing the minors, which is far the most complicated of them all.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but you know what? All the work that we've done so far in the majors and the courts is going to make describing the minors considerably easier. It will actually not be difficult at all. You'll find that it is certainly no more so than this. This may be the most difficult part of it all. So what you're going to find is, ultimately, the mother letters, the alphabet, the signs, the seasons, the elements, the ranks, the suits, the numbers, all of those things are going to join together in one giant jigsaw puzzle. Every single piece of which fits. You're going to know how the pieces were constructed, how they were laid side to side, and how the entire picture was made. By the time you're done with it, perhaps your head will be reeling with an overabundance of information, and it may take a little bit of time to sort out.
Well, these workbooks and the downloads are just a treasure.
Yes, that's what's going to save you. When you go back and you look through this and you're trying to remember how the different parts are constructed, go back to these worksheets that you've just done,
mm-hmm.
and it will give you, I think, everything that you need. I tried to make them build on each other so that they made sense with each other. By the way, of all the people here, the one who started off with apparently the least knowledge is Farrell. Farrell, how did your brain, your retentive abilities, your attention span, and your energy hold up under this barrage of stuff?
Oh, I loved it. I always say that. I'm afraid I sound sycophantic with you guys, but I thoroughly enjoy this. I kind of go into overdrive when a tremendous amount of information comes in that I'm unfamiliar with, but in the end, my way of comprehending things is to take a welter of data and turn it into a reference to my personal experience. And if I can make sense out of it in a personal way, then I can adapt it and expand it into my life and into the lives of others. And the first thing I noticed as we worked into the astrology of the court cards, the very last wheel, was that if I am Pisces and I am the Knight of Cups, a card I have never liked very much, find it interesting that for the last 2 years, all I ever want to be is the Queen of Wands when we're doing something where I have to be a court card. And people say, well, you're the Queen of Swords. And I say, I'll fight you about that. But what's funny is some classes back when we did a contemplation, I found surprisingly that I picked the King of Pentacles, and I was dumbfounded because I'm not a very pentacle-oriented person. And as I look at the progression here, I see that Aries, and I have often wondered why I'm Pisces when I feel so Aries, is the Queen of Wands, and that the progression from there is to the King of Pentacles. And I just found that kind of thunder-striking, actually. The whole thing is fascinating with the tiny little circle that I drew in the middle of the wheel, which is the seer at the center, who would be me or any of us. I really like it, and furthermore, I am glad that I haven't been taught. It's very good to be able to be the fool. I have never been ashamed of a lack of knowledge. I think that's fine in a student, and I'm a student in this class. It's nice to be able to start without some of the sophisticated knowledge that some of our other students have, because then I'm not trying to compare and contrast. I'm just trying to absorb. God only knows what I would do if I knew the Spanish system.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you would need. Exactly, Carol. Paul, you're the last person I wanted to speak with on this tonight. How did this all feel to you? Did it leave you with a clear mind or a clouded one?
Very clear. It made a lot of sense.
Good.
It's very easy for me to do this stuff, so.
I'm delighted to hear it.
I envy you, Paul.
Well, you know, that difference of feeling in approaching material like this is very much a matter of personal predilection. Each one of us has a mind that is built in a different way.
Well, astrology has been very tough for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, well,
you know,
it is.
The whole
a lot
concept.
Of people it is. Well, guys, having done this much, I think we've done as much as we can do in one evening. We've come a long way. And I want to thank you very, very much for participating in this and making it possible to get all of this down as a recorded lesson, because I want this material to be available as widely as possible. So thank you again. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll conclude this whole process and see what you think of it.